was still out there, but my note says, after a 15-year siege, Nebuchadnezzar could not conquer the part of Tyre located on the isle. So just them being out there on that island caused them to have a little place of security. Tonight, when we get started, we're going to see how God, that island didn't bother God a bit in the world, you know, and what he's going to do to all of those. So, what about our prayer list? Ezekiel 27. Remember last week I told you Tyre's strong point was the fact that it was a seaport town. And a lot of economy, a lot of trading, a lot of money in the town, the city of Tyre. But there's also a lot of sin, wrong. Anytime there's prosperity, there is usually sinfulness that surrounds it. And such a case with Tyre. And, you know, the first 23 or 4 chapters that we studied was God dealing with the punishment to the children of Israel for not obeying him and going on down and spending that 70 years in Babylonian captivity. And now he shifted from, and he let places like Tyre and Babylon and Syria and Egypt and these other places look like they were saints, because God didn't punish them in any way, but he was punishing the Israelites. But what did he tell the Israelites? Just give me time. When your 70 years is up, I'll deal with them. Well, tonight he's dealing with them. And the first one he's going to deal with here is Tyre. You remember Tyre and the building of King Solomon's temple was an important seaport town because they cut them great big cedars in the forest of Lebanon down there, floated them down to out of Tyre down to Jerusalem to build a temple with. And the logging operation, we just thought we were smart when we logged and sent them down the river and floated them, and they were doing it in biblical times. And said, the word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, take up a lament or a funeral cry, a mourning, for why would you mourn? Somebody lost, we died, didn't it? And this going to be a city, he said, concerning Tyre. Say to Tyre, situated at the gateway to the city, merchants of people on many coasts, this is what the Lord said. You go out through all these ships that's coming in, bringing their wares and stuff, and all the trading and stuff that's going on. He said, you say, old Tyre, I am perfect in beauty. Your domain was on the high seas. Your builders brought you beauty to perfection. They made all your timbers of pine trees from Sinir. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. What does it sound like to, he's building the illustration up to be like a what? About a boat or ship, that's right. And he said, of oaks from Bashan, they made your bars, your oars. Of cypress woods from the coast of Cyprus, they made your deck, inlaid with ivory. Can you imagine that? High dollar. That ivory had to come from what? Big old elephants and stuff, didn't it? And things that he was talking about here, and their hearts and their lives. Fine embroidered linen from Egypt was your sail and served as your banner. They took this fine linen and made their sails to move the ship along. The banner that they flew of being the city of Tyre. Your awnings were blue and purple from the coast of Elisha. Men of Sidon and Arvad were your oarsmen. Your skilled men, O Tyre, were abroad as your seamen. Veterans, craftsmen of Gabal, were on board as shipwrights to caulk your seams. All the ship of the sea and their sailors came alongside to trade for your wares. Men of Persia, Lydia, and Put served as soldiers in your army. They hung their shields and helmets on your walls, bringing you splendor. Men of Arvad and Helah manned your walls on every side. Men of Gamet. What he's talking about here in using the description of building a ship, and because ships were so important to them because that's how they move their wares. And men on dry land from all around Tyre out in the country and stuff, they would bring their stuff into Tyre. And when the ship came and moved close as it could get to shore and set down its anchor, then they would get in these smaller boats and take their furs or their whatever they is, their ivory and whatever, out to the ship, and they may trade that for something they had on the ship that they wanted and stuff. And a lot of horse trading going on, a lot of money changing hands, a lot of thoughts taking place here concerning this. And but we'll see in a minute why I use an analogy of a ship. And a ship is subject to do what? Sink it. What do they say about the Titanic? Didn't have to worry about it sinking, did you? What happened? Blah, 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 blah. Sunk right on down. That he talks about they had the best of everything there. Any kind of craft skill you wanted to see there, from the best of the best finishing carpenters to the cabinet makers to the, you name it, they were there. And he said, all these were in your towers. They hung their shield around your walls. They brought your beauty to perfection. And these individuals came in. They knew their trade. They knew their business, you know, whether it was laying it in ivory or it was putting the caulking into the crack. Why was it important that all those cracks be caulked properly? It'd take on water, wouldn't it? And so they didn't take any chance. They had the very best because they had the money to provide for the very best. Verse 12 said, Tarshish did business with you because of your great wealth of good. They exchanged silver, iron, tin, and lead for your merchandise. So that's what the people of Tarshish brought. The people from Greece, Tubal, and Meshed traded with you. They exchanged slaves and articles of bronze for your wares. Slave trading, even back in the day of Ezekiel. Articles of bronze for your wares. Men of Beth Togarmah exchanged workhorses, war horses, and mules for your merchandise. Whatever they had on land, whatever was on that boat, they'd work up a deal. The men of Rhodes traded with you, and many coastlands were your customers. They paid you with ivory tusk and ebony. Aram did business with you because of your many products. They exchanged turquoise, purple fabric, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and rubies for their merchandise. So they had all these precious stones and valuable jewelry prospects there, I'm sure. Said, Judah and Israel traded with you. They exchanged wheat from Minnit and confections such as honey, oil, and balm for your wares. They came in and all the spices and honey and confections and stuff that they needed, confections just being sugar and things. He said, Judah and Israel, traded for that kind of stuff. Damascus, because of your many products, got in great wealth of goods, did business with you in wine from Helbon and wool from Sahar, both high-dollar ticket items. And why did Damascus trade with them in that? Because of their many products and great, they had the money to do it with, great wealth. And there are Danites and Greeks from Uzal bought your merchandise. They exchanged wrought iron, cassia, and calamus for your wares. And things that they were trying to figure out there. And so Dedan, and nobody seems to know where Dedan came from. Some wanted to translate that, and later on we'll see it in the next chapter, into Daniel, but different set of dogs. Dedan traded in saddle blankets with you. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar were your customers. They did business with you in lambs, rams, and goats. The merchants of Sheba and Rama traded with you. For your merchandise, they exchanged the finest of all the kinds of spices and precious stones and gold. Haran, Kanek, and Eden, and merchants of Sheba, Asser, and Kilmad traded with you. In your marketplace, they traded with you beautiful garments, blue fabrics, embroidered work, multicolored rugs with cords twisted and tied tightly knotted. So all these cities from all out in the outlying areas out there had their own specialties that they were famous for and that they made and produced there within the city, and the things that they were doing here. And, you know, can you see why Tyre was such a big, fine, fabulous city? What do we read? A dozen different places that brought their wares in. Can you imagine this caravan coming from this way and this one coming from that way and this one coming? And they all coming. They know the ship's going to come around, but they don't know when he's going to get there. They may get to Tyre a week ahead of time from the ship, but they got to stay put till the ship gets there, do their business, and then go back home with their wares to replace and buy the stuff they need to keep the cycle going around, around, around. They're going. So they come, they trade, they go back home. And whatever the length of time it takes them for the ship to get there, get stationed, put down its anchor, and then put their stuff in boats and or row all the way out to the ship, do their trading all the way back, load their camels and head back to their hometown, you know. Just a continuous shout. Cycled by that. Let's see what he said in verse 25. Remember what I asked you about them ships? He said, the ships of Tarshish serve as carriers for your ware. God's reminding Ezekiel to tell folks, hey, the ships of Tarshish serve as carriers for your ware. You are filled with heavy cargo in the heart of the sea. Whenever they got all the horse trading and stuff done, got everybody's stuff loaded on the big ship, and it's headed back to its home country and stuff. The Lord said they had a heavy cargo in the heart of the sea, right out in the middle of no dry land. You couldn't see it, I don't imagine, for miles away. He said, your oarsmen take you out to the high sea, but the east wind will break you to pieces in the heart of the sea. One east wind, just a storm come and hit that ship and just tear it all to pieces. Your wealth, your merchandise, your wares, your mariners, your seamen, your shipwrights, your merchants, and all your soldiers, and everyone else on board will sink into the heart of the sea on the day of your shipwreck. All the cargo, all the wealth, all the men, women that might be on that ship, all going to die on the day of the shipwreck. 28 says, the shoreland will quake when your seamen cry out. All who handle the oars will abandon their ships. The mariners and all the seamen will stand on the shore. They'll raise their voice and cry bitterly over you. They'll sprinkle dust on their heads and roll in ashes. They will shave their heads because of you and will put on sackcloth. They will weep over you with anguish of soul and with bitter mourning. As they wail and mourn over you, they will take up a lament, another funeral service concerning you. Who was ever silenced like Tyre, surrounded by the sea? Had it made a beautiful city, and all that's wealth and all its grandeur sinks to the bottom of the sea. With your great wealth and your wares, you enrich the kings of the earth. Now you are shattered by the sea. In the depths of the waters, your wares and all your company have gone down with you. All who live in the coastlands are appalled at you. Their kings shudder with horror, and their faces are distorted with fear. The merchants among the nations hiss at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. Talk about a city that went from riches to rags overnight. Tyre did. Just like that. God allowed them oarsmen to get them out there and get the ships loaded, get everything on there, you know. And the ship backed out and the anchor was raised and it started to move and it got out in the depths of the sea while all those folks on the shore could still see them. And that boat started to do what? Sink. What do you think people probably said? I knew they was putting too much stuff on. They got it overloaded. It can't. It's going, look, it's sinking, you know. And they began to wail and cry and beg and plead and stuff because their future is gone and their city is no more, their heart and their life. So God reduced that city down. You like that, didn't you? Let's see what he does to the king of Tyre. Said the word of the Lord in chapter 28. Word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, say to the rulers of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am God. There's her problem. The king thought he was what? God. I sit on the throne of a God, in the heart of the seas. But you are a man and not a God. Though you think you are as wise as a God. Are you wiser than Daniel? Is no secret hidden from you? See, Daniel had done one the reputation of all the powers to be that surrounded Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom down there, that he had true wisdom. He's a smart man. And God said to Ezekiel, ask him, king of Tyre, are you wiser than Daniel? Why do you keep calling him up here and asking him your problems? Is no secret hidden from you? By your wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth for yourself. If I can separate these pages, we're going to go on. There you go. And amass gold and silver in your treasuries. Oh, you've accumulated all this riches and stuff. But by your great skills in trading, you have increased your wealth. And because of your wealth, your heart has grown proud. Pride will get you every time, you know. Greed will get you every time. He had the skill and ability to trade, the old king did. And he made some wise decisions, you know, and things. But he let it go to his head. And he began to think, I am a God. There's only one God. And verse 6, he said, therefore, this is what the Lord said, because you think you're wise as a God, I'm going to bring foreigners against you, the most ruthless of nations, and they'll draw their sword against your beauty and wisdom and pierce your shining splendor. I'm going to bring foreigners against you. All those that had joined forces with Nebuchadnezzar and stuff, and they're going to attack Tyre with that whole Babylonian army and all these foreigners that's going to help them. And they're going to show them some great things. Now listen to me for a moment. You've got to understand it. He's going to use an analogy here of a man, but he's talking about the devil, Satan, okay, in these next verses as he deals with them here. And you will die the death of the uncircumcised at the hand of the foreigners. And I have spoken, declares the Lord God Almighty. Verse 11. The word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, take up a lament or a funeral message concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby, topaz, emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherubim, so I ordained you. Who's he talking about? Adam? Who was there? Who was that perfect model of perfection? Huh? The devil? All right. They were there. How was he in a part of that? Form of a serpent, wasn't he? All right. Let's see what else he said. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. All right. He was in Eden or in heaven in the presence of all this gracious goodness and stuff. But he wanted to be God. He said, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you." Satan brought this on himself. He was as perfect as any other till he chose to want to be God. "You were blameless in your ways from the days that you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned." And he done the wrong thing. He'd been anointed a guardian cherubim there in heaven, and he had access to the holy mountain of God that we're fixing to talk about. He was driven from there, and he motivated the king of Tyre just to do wrong, to sin. And now Tyre, the king of Tyre, he would have gotten rich. But the more we get, the more we want. And when Satan approached him with a scheme to beat folks out of their wares or goods and stuff, you know, he fell right in there with them. And he loaded that ship till it what? Sank that with a little help from what? An east wind, you know, carried them out. God said, "You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways. From the days that you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, with you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God." Being the mount of God being heaven. "And I cast you out," or expelled you, "O guardian cherub." Once an angel in the presence of God. Now he's booted out. Why? Because you were filled with violence and you sinned. "So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. And I expelled you, O guardian cherub or angel, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trades, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out of from you, and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground. In the sight of all who were watching, all the nations who knew you were all appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end, and you will be no more." Just think of that. He had the tiger by the tail. He couldn't hold on, could he? Could not make himself be satisfied with being second best or third best or fourth. He had to be what? He had to be God. Who did it affect? When people tell you, "I ain't hardly hurting nobody but myself," wrong. Sin has consequences, doesn't it? And things that it does in our hearts and our lives. Let's see what he says here about Sodom. Now, he's worked Tyre over pretty good, but Sodom was another seacoast town that was located about 25 miles down the road. And God gonna charge this folks down in Sudan with contempt. And there was so much of Tyre that Sidon depended upon, just like Lucedale depends on Hattiesburg or Mobile or the coast or someone, you know. We get our small things here, but our big things, we have to go 25 miles down the road or 30, 50, whatever it takes. Word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, set your face against Sidon. Prophesy against her and say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Sidon. That's enough said right there for them to know they whipped before they ever got started. That's right. And he said, and I will gain glory within you. I'm against you, but I'm going to show you the glory of the Lord to the people of Sidon. Then they will know that I am the Lord. When I inflict punishment on her and show myself holy within her, I will send a plague upon her and make blood flow in her streets. And my little footnote says here that this promise that God's people would live in complete safety has yet to be fulfilled. While many were allowed to return from exile under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, you know, to start early of the 70 years to start building the temple back, you know, he said that even with that taking place, still the political forces didn't get restored. Delay to that. And he said, I'm going to inflict punishment on her. I'm going to show myself holy within her. I'm going to send a plague upon her and make blood flow in her streets. The slain will fall within her with a sword against her on every side. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Have you noticed tonight? That's the first time we've heard that. And all that he did in Tyre, out of the 60-something times that he used, then they will know that I am the Lord, you know. I thought it kind of interesting that all the Tyre and all the, so far, that's the first time we'd heard it. Verse 24 says, no longer will the people of Israel have malicious neighbors who are painful briars and sharp thorns. And we all have that saying about somebody that troubles us all. They're thorn in the flesh, yeah. And he said, they're going to become a painful briar and a sharp thorn. Then they will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When I gather the people of Israel from the nations where they have been scattered, I will show myself holy among them in the sight of the nations. Then they will live in their own land, which I gave to my servants Jacob. They will live there in safety, and will build houses and plant vineyards. They will live in safety when I inflict punishment on all their neighbors who malignant them. Then they will know that I, the Lord, am the Lord their God. He's going to keep that promise to those that's down there in Babylonian captivity when he said, I'll show myself holy among them in the sight of the nations. Coming back. But I don't know about you. I don't know how much you've seen. I've seen very little. What I've seen are them missiles and them bombs and going both ways, you know. Who knows what crazy Iraqi bunch will do. I don't think Trump's going to back down from them. And so I was thinking about oh, book that I read a while back, you know, talking about, could this be the beginning of the end, you know? Signs of the times is everywhere, folks. I guarantee you. They everywhere. Any question, any comments you have about this?
Tyre, geographically speaking, where would that have been at?
Tyre? Well, you get the map out. It's right down. It's close enough below Jerusalem they could flow the timbers and stuff from Tyre down to Jerusalem to build a temple out of. So it's got to be above it. That the oh. Do you see Sidon?
Yes, it's just north.
And then Pentire, and then Jerusalem. Right in the thick of things.
Just north of Israel.
Right in the thick of things. Any other thought?
Would you want to see how long it's going to take you to get there?
No, I think I'm good. Brother Trapp, I'll be driving
back. I tell you, you better fill your gas tank up, won't you? Because they bomb them tanks over there, them oil wells.
Yeah.
We fixing to see it,
yeah. Gas going up already.
Any other thought? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. Do good. Absolutely.